Hi. Well, what is today? Today's Monday, hello. And we had a really long show last week. We had me and Fred Stoller and Tom, and then just me and Tom, and this is me, Tom, and Fred. And sat down for about an hour and a half, I forget. Hey, by the way, I said I was going to go, look up some, do my homework for the love of God, have the nice man's credits. He worked on this, he did that, you might have seen him in this, wrote on this last year. But you know what, I think you'll feel more comfortable if you do it for yourselves. If I do it for you, you're not going to learn. And I'm sure most of you have done it already. And then other than that, that's it. So, I hope you enjoy the show today. That's all. That's what I hope. That's all I hope for. So, is there anything else? No. Enjoy it. You hear me? Same bit every week. Yeah, it's the same old thing with glass. Same old thing. Alrighty. Goodbye. That music is, because I'm at a holiday party. I'm at a Christmas party. And, see, that's right. And then in my opening, I'm going to break off. That Christmas thing proves that I'm not stupid about it. I say I'm going to Christmas parties. I'm just talking about when somebody goes out of their way to act like there's a war against Christmas. Just because some people were like, it started. I'll tell you how it started. Because businesses were told, you answer your phone, Merry Christmas, hope you Merry Christmas. You know what, I agree, you're in business. Yeah, businesses started. I'm leaving this in, I'm not editing this out. I brought clarity to something. That's where a lot of that probably started. And businesses should do that. If you're a friend and you're having casual conversation, it doesn't matter as much, but you know what, slowly it sneaks into the vernacular and everybody says it anyway, and that's okay. Happy holidays. If it doesn't sound warm, it's because you're cold. Happy holidays. Nothing says, whatever you celebrate, I hope it's happy. Whatever you celebrate, I hope happy holidays. Okay, I gotta go. Enjoy the show. Oh, God, that was the weirdest opening. I'm leaving this part into that I said it was a weird opening. People need to hear the truth.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Nervous.
Tom Martin got here a little late. This is your song, Fuck Jingle Joe, Fuck Lynn Shore, You Got Me. That's right. On one side of this, we got the backup music that just goes and goes. But then we took some old Sinatra riffs, and that lets me do this. And it lets me do this. Maybe I do a little bit of that. Maybe I do this. And then I fucking do this. And then I fucking do that. That's all I do. Welcome to the show. That's the fucking opening. I said fuck. I'm gonna put the mic back in the stand right now. Podcast could just be this, I'd be happy. Fade it out.
the show, or could I talk, or not yet?
No, you're good.
He always would bump into me and say, hey, Fred, I'm big in London. And I go, okay, all right, yeah. Then one time I bumped him in the street. I go, Mike, I hear you're big in London. He goes, you hear that? The people talking? I go, no, I'm just doing it. Come on, no, you really heard that, right? Are people saying that at the improv? I go, Mike, I'm... No, come on.
He was like that. He was like really on edge about what people thought of him.
Yeah. But he couldn't accept that I was goofing on him. He goes, no, you please tell me you are hearing that a little bit. See, I'm big in London.
But isn't that weird, like when you meet a comedian who doesn't have what they might call emotional intelligence?
Or self-awareness.
Think, right, because you think that's all we have, really.
I'm saving this story for the podcast. When is it on?
I've been recording.
Okay.
So I can keep this in if you want.
Todd will hear this. When I lived in New York, I don't know if Todd had this in Philly, when they'd have a casting director come to town, it was such a big deal. But it was always some assistant to assistant just getting a free trip. Oh, sorry.
No.
Could I finish the
mic story? That was so I could see if there was echo in there to take it out.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Would you be more comfortable if I turn this on while you're telling your story?
No, I want to make sure anything I say about Mike is recorded.
No.
That's my mission in life.
You're kidding, right?
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
But
oh, really?
Did you get the first?
Yeah. No. I've been recording since this song.
When you said no self-awareness, so they came to the clubs. There was a show, Spencer for Hire. Do you remember the show? The late Robert Urich. And they wanted like a vulnerable Jeff Goldblum type guy to play like a nervous guy, you know. And, you know, we all line up, you know. And he goes, I bump in the street, goes, Freddie, who's more vulnerable than me? This is mine. Who the fuck is better being vulnerable than me? I got this. I thought he was joking, but he was bragging how vulnerable he is.
It's the least vulnerable thing you can do.
Everybody, this is Todd Glass. I'm going to go over to the bathroom for a second. And then this is the pre-show. And then we're going to start the show.
So, I'm going to leave this all in.
So this is like the warm-up
for
the show. So they can like get a bonus?
Yeah. We still get paid, right?
Yeah.
Will Todd get mad? I heard a thing he used to do.
He's going to
come out of the bathroom.
Oh.
Oh, no. I heard you used to walk around with a frying pan with garlic to get people to come into shows.
That's so funny.
Well, you know, because people had spent... There's one about me.
Hold on.
All right.
Hold on.
All right, I want to hear this. I want to hear the context one.
Yeah, because you know what's so funny? I hope I don't do it. These
people did
headphones.
One about me. Oh, should I put headphones on?
Yes. I hope I don't do it, but then we'll start the show.
Okay.
The garlic story was, I'm a very, you know, attention to detail. I like learning little things, even if it has nothing to do with what I do for a living. And when I was at the M Bar once, the owner, before he let the crowd in, before they opened the doors, an hour and a half before the show, I see the chef walking around the restaurant with a pan full of garlic. He just takes it in the kitchen, puts some garlic, some butter, gets it as hot as he can get, and then he walks around the restaurant. And I asked him, even though I knew, I was like, I hope I'm right. I go, why do you do that? He goes, because when people walk in, they smell food and they order food. And I was like, I love that. So I was at an improv, and I said to them, I go, you know me, I was like, you should do that here. Like, that's a good idea. And, you know, the problem with back then, the improv's food wasn't that good. Now the improv's food is really good. So they would taste this. They'd walk in, and they'd smell garlic, just fresh, bursting garlic with butter. And then they'd order the food. They'd go, smells better in here than the food tastes. Now the improv food is actually very good, but this is like 10 years ago. So that's where that story got started. It wasn't to bring people in off the street to see a comedy show. It was like, I was just curious, will this help? Like at the improv, they open the doors up about sometimes an hour and a half before the show. Will this help people? So we're going to start the show. Let's all put our phones away.
A very funny guy, Todd Glass.
If you fucking call me back this time, then don't call me ever again, because we're done.
The Todd Glass Show launches August 12th.
Todd, hey, it's Zach. El Zach. Listen, man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff.
Hello.
Comedy Central presents Todd Glass.
Hello.
Todd Glass. Ryan Regan.
Hi, is that Ryan Regan on there?
You don't want me to do...
I'm like Phil Henry. Bless you, Katie.
Let me know that.
She's like, I didn't sneeze, I vomited.
Todd, it's Maron.
This is the Mark Maron show.
This is the guy that gets confused every week at the opening. I'm listening to the Mark Maron show. Oh, I'm listening to Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel. Todd
Glass. From the beautiful here's where it gets exciting every week. No bullshit.
Hi, it's Black Horse Motors. It's the Todd Glass Show.
Fred Stoller is here, everybody. Relax. Every week it's fun. Even, you know, it's just, I don't go on automatic pilot like some of these other podcasts. For me, I say the same thing about this podcast that I said about my stand-up. When I'm not fucking loving it, goodbye.
Would you quit in the middle?
I would walk out.
In the middle of the show. It'd be funny, this is the first one. Fred Stoller, I don't love this.
If I wasn't, you know, enjoying it right from the beginning, I would... Oh, yeah. Maybe someone's listening to the show on Sunday. I like to ease into the show. Tom Martin's filling in for Daniel Keno.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt.
Maybe Joe could do something with this song. This is the way I put it in his ear. So I listened to Todd Glass's podcast for dessert. Maybe he could do something.
I can't speak because the foam on your mic is crooked.
Then I fumbled in my closet.
Todd Glass reference.
This is a great song if you can really just play it at your house.
Then I washed my face and combed my hair. Stumbled down the stairs to meet the day.
That sounds a little weird.
I smoked my mind the night.
All right, everybody. Well, here we are. I love having that fader. Chris, I just want to say this. I'm not going to forget to say it. I'm going to say it to everyone in case I don't say it. Appreciate all your hard work. Before the show, I was looking over at you, and I'm thinking, we're downloading stuff and doing it. He does it graciously. Every 20 minutes, I look at him. I go, are you okay? He goes, yeah. And Eric is over there. Very nice. Katie. And, you know, I thought, I'm going to say it when I get on the air because I don't want to be one of those people, hey, I tell you guys I appreciate you. Maybe it's been 6 months since I said it.
He's crying.
Well, you know what? He should.
It's a sound effect.
He should. What? That doesn't even make any sense.
That's funny.
Oh, by the way, that was because 1 week with Chris, he didn't have a mic, so we let him pre-record, you know, reactions. So, and I thought I got him. What would you do if I said this? Blah, 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 blah.
I'm good. How are you?
He's got five. So Fred Stoller's here.
Thank you, Todd.
Fred, how you doing?
I'm all right. I am a little nervous because I listened. excuse me. I know you.
Oh,
edit.
He's coughing. Oh,
no. You don't have a cough button.
Gross. Come on. Let's go. Let's go.
He's
oh, my God. He's vomiting into the mic. Let's go, guys. Come on. This is retirement.
I love
here.
The commitment.
Yeah, I'm Fred Stoller. I vomit right into the mic. Bro.
Well,
guys,
you have Doug
Stoller. Hold on. Before we walk out of here, Tom, am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
I love the commitment that it's not videoed, but they're walking down the steps.
How about you?
Well, I think it's a bodily function thing that he couldn't
control. You know, you're right. That's not
Oh, man.
I think we overreacted. I think we overreacted a little bit. Thank God that Earth was here.
You see, other shows would pretend they were walking down the steps.
We
but
did it.
I really did it. Now you didn't commit. Have to pretend.
We're not good actors like you, Fred. You actually can act.
We do the sound of... There was a sound effect comedian. There was a comedy team. I forgot what they called. Maybe Edmonds and Curly. And then Curly, they broke up and was trying to do just regular observation. But he would do sound effects for no reason. So I'm walking down the street. And then a guy.
Put some reverb out. When he does it. Do that again with reverb. Watch
I was
reverb.
Walking down the street. And then, you know, I say hi to my friend. I wave my hand. Unnecessary sound effects. Yeah.
So Fred Stoller's here, and
you don't now, go in the house, which is good.
We don't go what
in the house.
Fred Stoller's in the house. Very young demographics, and see the sound of those children.
Aww.
That's the kids.
They're in Garage Band. I know them. They're free.
No, they're not.
I have GarageBand.
That's the.
Oh, I get.
That's
it.
When they find out. Oh, he found out we're.
They
free.
Don't get paid any money.
So let me start slow here. Well, I say Daniel's not here. Daniel's here so much. But the truth is, when I started this show, I thought, I don't want to permanent co-host because it's then there's the pressure. So, but Daniel, you know, he's here the majority of the time, and I'm happy about it. But he got a writing job, so he could not be here tonight. So I call Tom, and you're here.
I came right here.
Fred's here.
I wouldn't say right here. I know, I'm taking liberties.
Yeah.
I'm taking liberties. I'm the guest, and I'm that was wrong
the
of me.
The traffic was
I'm
terrible.
Sorry.
You're yeah. fine. Hold on. Liberties. I have some notes I thought I had.
Rodney Dangerfield saw my act. He goes, "You took too many liberties."
Really?
What did he mean by that?
Meaning I got to talk faster.
No.
I don't know. I hate to name drop, but it's too late for that. No, I did the comic strip in Fort Lauderdale with Eddie Murphy right before Saturday Night Live and Rob Bartlett, and
Jesus.
Rodney came in to see it, and he critiqued me and Eddie and really crushed Eddie. He said, "Where are you going to go with that N-word?" But I should say it's stuff you do.
Wait, he said that to who?
To Rob Bartlett. No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He said that to Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy used to do a bit like, scream out the N-word. Let's get it over with. So then Rodney goes, "Where are you going to go with that?"
Where are you going to go with that, huh?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
Yeah. And Eddie got upset, and he got Saturday Night Live. Nothing happened.
By the way, that doesn't mean Rodney was wrong. And that's what I'm so glad I'm here to point that out. Sometimes it seems like somebody's wrong, but, you know, it's not like he had a stand-up career. Now, you might go, he had an acting career that was very, very big, but as far as a stand-up comedian, Rodney had stand-up in his bones. And if his advice was giving it to somebody, it was how they can do stand-up till they're 80 or 90 or, you know, like those guys. And I think he was probably right.
He was right with me. I had my head down.
He wasn't right with you.
No, I'd make nooses with the mic stand. I didn't come out.
Look,
so much.
Listen to me, and you listen up good, Fred.
Okay.
I remember, and then I want you. You know what? I don't usually like to do this because.
Oh, you do intros. I'm sorry.
No, I wanted
you
to
do announcements.
No. There's no intros. I just want to compliment you.
Thank you.
But a lot of people that don't listen, you know, this is the first time on the show. I was. You know what? We'll talk about this in the opening. I'll go through some of your credits. I want people to know. What you
Thank
do,
you.
And they already know because they heard the opening.
They'll know the guy from the Grove.
They'll know the show. They'll know.
I know people on Twitter go, "Hey, you're at the Grove." I told the story before. Sadly, a guy killed himself, jumped off the Grove parking lot. People were tweeting, going, "They were going, Fred, was that you? Like, if I killed myself on the way down, I'd be answering tweet, yes, but maybe I made a mistake." You know,
I feel terrible.
You know,
I wish I could reverse gravity.
I should have done it right by Mondrian's or whatever.
So the audience already knows your body of work. I want to tell you this. I always debate whether I should do this or not. I know I did it last week when Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy were on the show. But I remember the first night I saw you at the Comedy Works in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And it still holds true.
That's
it's
so
like
nice.
if people go YouTube old work of yours or your
you
old
know something?
Stand-up.
I did stand-up so long ago.
You must have started stand-up in 81.
I started in 78. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have like Brian Posehn on, what's that thing, the Comedians of Comedy. Here's a video of my first set. There weren't even videos to like do our acts. So my first...
You don't have a lot of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. And let me go a little backwards, and then we'll go forwards, and then we'll go sideways. I speak in a weird way, so listen to me out, and then you'll understand. I think a good comedy stands the test of time. I don't think every it's not when you look back, oh, well, every time you look at comedy 20 years later, it sucks. That's not true. But in the 80s, of course, there were the great guys, but there was a lot of shit comedy swirling around. You might go, well, there
well,
always...
I did the comedy boom where all you had to do to make a living was answer your phone.
Right. And there was
more
a lot of
comics
right.
than clubs.
And there were a lot of Jerry Seinfeld wannabes.
Mm-hmm.
And they owned...
I'm doing the hacky.
Yeah. And they owned the sort of clubs. And they made you feel bad if you did something different. And what I loved when I saw you, I remember the first time I saw you, I was like, oh, it was so refreshing to not see that same... formulaic delivery that this, you know, I don't want to say what I thought it was. It was just different. It was unique. And Steve Young, the owner of the Comedy Works, was like, he told me, he goes, because he knew that
That's
I like
so
things.
Nice.
He's like, you're going to fucking love this guy. So, you know, it's funny you say that about, because here I am telling people, go YouTube a lot of your old clips, but probably from those years.
Well, when you YouTube, I was already doing comedy 10 years on the Young Comedian special.
Yeah.
I remember.
Well, go, you know what? That is a good example of your stand-up in the early early days. And I think if you go look at it now, it still is funny, and it's still great. So anyway, there's just for some of the people that aren't familiar with you,
it doesn't
talk about what you've written on or those type of shows. I'm purely talking in the stand-up area. Go take a look at some of those clips.
I was socially inept, and my act was I had my head down because that's who I was, and I grew up as a person. And when you did the road, you couldn't just go, hi, I was killed in Vietnam, you know, whatever my opening act was. And people would boo me because I have to acknowledge, I'm in San Antonio, you Jew. You know, the only time I ran into anti-Semitism was when I did San Antonio, when they'd go, where'd you get your nose job, Jew boy? So then I learned.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, I learned. God. They got offended.
What year is this?
88 or something.
You don't even have a big nose.
I know, but no, they said, where'd you get your nose job, Jew? Because it wasn't big.
Well, at least they know.
Yeah. They
took it as a compliment.
They wondered why this Jew has a normal nose. But I realized when you did the New York clubs, you could just do your act, and I could be weird and socially.
Why's this Jew got a normal nose, honey? I better yell something out.
We got to get to the bottom of
this. Maybe he had a big nose, and he wanted to get it, because every Jew has a big nose. But I realized you got to acknowledge you're on their turf. Like, here's a New York Jewish guy in Texas. So then my heck, I watered down. Hey, I went to Snippy's. Ah, he's acknowledging us. When I would do colleges, you had to do an hour. I couldn't do an hour. So I'd always go, give me the school newspaper. I go, I heard Mrs. Mendelsohn won the election.
They love that stuff.
Even if it's not a joke, you're just saying
the
names.
They love it.
Oh, sorry. Right,
that's okay. Here's what first thing that I wanted to, first of all, hi. Did I say hi to you, Tom Martin?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I want to start with this.
Can I say something real quick about Fred Stoller?
Please.
Can you hold on one second?
Yes.
Don't edit this out, please.
Okay. No.
Hello, it's Jake Fogelnest wishing you and your loved ones and everyone at the Todd Glass Show happy holidays.
That's very nice. Okay, go ahead.
That was beautiful, yes. Jake. I was just going to say, it's like you say with Fred, he's very memorable, and I remember the first time that I saw him
on
stage.
This is going to be a show. It's the first time you saw Fred.
Wait, what did you say?
The show called The First Time You Saw Fred. It's going to be a documentary.
A new podcast.
Well, because you did stand out in the sea of kind of generic comedians of that era. You stood out for many reasons, and I remember the first time I saw you was on The Tonight Show. And I don't know if it was – how many times did you do this?
I only did it once or twice, once with Carson, once with Leno.
Yeah, and I think you were dressed in regular kind of street –
I never wore the jacket. I didn't think to do that.
And you really
– I didn't get the memo, is kind of what it's like.
Hey,
the memo.
But I'm wondering because I was new to comedy at that time, and I was sort of – it's like something Daniel said the other day, comedians are impressed by talent more than fame. And I was impressed by your talent. And I'm watching you, and I'm like, who is this guy? How is he so different? But you really stuck in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, how did that set go from your perspective?
You know, it did. You know, by then, I already did my act on A Million Evening at the Improvs. And it didn't have the magic because there were no guests that were just like yodelers and people canceled. And then I didn't even meet Johnny Carson. So it's almost like I did my set on a set and I waved and didn't meet Johnny or anyone. So it didn't feel like the magic, dude. Mm-hmm. It didn't. A banging table. I'm sorry. and so it didn't. It was almost more, you know, by then I did a million like Rosie O'Donnell shows. So,
you know what I'm going to do? And obviously we're going to do this in post. We're going to roll in right now. We'll take a quick break. And we're going to roll in. I'll pick something that I think really lets the audience know some of your stand-up. And then we'll listen to that. And then we'll
This is how bad I am. You're being so nice. Now I'm accentuating all the podcasts that won't return my calls to have me on. Whenever someone's nice, when they're a mensch, instead of going, they're nice, they go, why are the other guys assholes? Instead of going, this is good, I'm going, what is that guy? And then I got that other email from Emery, and those guys won't have me on their podcast. So I'm feeling good, but I'm getting more mad as you have this rejecting me.
Well, you should feel good. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Okay. We're going to play. I'm going to pick a good clip of your stand-up, and then we're going to move on. Because stand-up is only, obviously, you know, I don't want to talk about
it's
that
only
for 2 hours.
Bit of what I did. So, I invented software. There was a comic that quit, and he invented some final draft and made millions of dollars. This guy, Steve Sashin.
I heard of him. So we'll take a break. Enjoy some of Fred Stoller doing what he does, and we'll be right back after this.
Talk about Larry.
So, you know what's the first rebellious thing I did? A few years ago, I quit college. My mother's always going,
When are you going to go back, get your degree? I go, what for? What's it going to do for me? This is the reason. She goes, you'll be able to say you're a college graduate. You know, like I'm not able to say it now. I go, I'm a Kagagagawa. I'm a college Gagagawa. Damn, 4 credits short, I almost had it. See, I wasn't really crying. That's who was acting. I'll keep you informed. I'll let you know these things that are going on here in this very hot auditorium. But it's Aspen, and we're having fun. Yeah. There's not a lot of warmth and affection between me and my mother. I asked her about it. I said to her, Mrs. Stoller. My mother is severely annoying. Worst torture, stuck in a cross-country trip. Whole trip, she doesn't shut up in the car. She has this one word she says to everything. She just goes, again. Whole trip, again with the filling up for gas. Again with the cars passing us. Again, I'm eating a Hershey bar. She freaks out. Again with eating between meals. You're going to ruin your appetite. Next question, I'm going to ruin my appetite. Like, I'm never going to eat again. My appetite's ruined. It's never going to work, you know? I thought I'd be grown up, eat a Thanksgiving dinner, go, I don't want to eat. They go, why not? I go, I can't, because when I was a kid, I ate a Hershey bar, and it ruined my appetite. I just get fed intravenously now. Well, she freaks out. She sees me eating a Hershey bar. She goes, where did you get that? Where did I get it? You know, like I'm a junkie. And my connection set me up in Minneapolis. You know, I'm going to be in Seattle in 5 hours. You got some chunkies? And some juji fruits? You know what juji fruits are, by the way? Candies that get stuck in your teeth. Try pulling them out. They don't come out. Ever do this, though? Take another juji fruit and send him in to rescue the other guy. Thank you.
All right, no, there we go. So you just, I'm sure you did enjoy that. That, as we were getting ready to play your clip from you, you brought something up, and that's what I couldn't wait to talk about.
Okay.
I think back about, where do you start with this? There was a guy, and by the way, I saw, what is the name of your movie?
Fred and Vinny.
The woman, I did not watch the whole thing, but we watched, and then it started
that
skipping.
That has all the blurbs. I'm looking,
no.
I'm just kidding. No.
We watched up to the, who's the woman that plays... she's in the rest. She's somewhere with you, and she's got hair. It's like very combed down. Over.
Oh, Harriet Rose, like a real bad day. Yeah,
she was great.
Oh, good. I'll tell her. She'll
she
be very
was
happy.
Unbelievable.
And these are all true stories. These are things people have said to me.
What did I do when that part came on, and I knew they were going to be watching this? I stopped the. By the way, it had a glitch and it stopped playing.
Oh,
but listen. But when that part came on. I stopped it and I told these guys, I was like, oh, by the way, I think it helps this to know this is all real.
Yeah, it's true.
Especially before you were going to talk about Larry. And I hope, I think back about Larry and I think that I was proud of the way, and I think you should be proud.
No one put him down or made him feel bad.
Thank you.
Yes.
And Larry, how would you explain, this is interesting, and we will explain Larry to everybody. What was Larry, if you had to say, a savant?
Yeah.
And hold on. Before you go, sure. Because then they'll know in the gist of why we're talking about this. Larry was a guy who went club
to
club.
He was in the weather. Yeah, that's right. He was a partly sunny, tomorrow chance of rain. Remember he knew
He would pull his lip.
Yeah, and he knew all the weather. Do you remember that?
Yes, and he would go club to club. And if he came by the Comedy Works, he adored stand-up comedy. He went to the Comedy Factory
Hi,
outlet.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Todd. I talked to Vinny. And he would pull his lip. And I bought him chapstick back then because I told him he had chapped lips and he needed to use chapstick. I wasn't mean about it. I bought him chapstick. And he goes, I'm using it every day. It does feel better. And
so, I think he was borderline mentally challenged.
Probably mentally challenged, yes. But he also knew numbers. I would always ask him. Now, not being disrespectful to him, but obviously I was 17. I was, you know, I would ask him things like everybody's number because I was impressed. Like,
right.
Oddly, just it would boggle my mind that he knew. I go, you called Fred Stoller. 703-415. And he knew everybody's number. And
do you remember they bought him a puppet?
No, I bought him a puppet.
Oh, black puppet.
So listen, so he went comedy club to comedy club, and he hung out. He just loved stand-up comedy.
Oh, he loved the attention they gave him.
And he especially loved ventriloquism. Am I right about that?
Yeah, he would call me up. He'd go, I spoke to Michael Baldwin, the Wid, Vince D'Antona, and Frankie. Those were a ventriloquist act. And the first time he saw me, he goes, he's nice and quiet. He's like Wayne Cotter, nice and quiet. So he would call me up, go, hi, Fred. I spoke to Vinny. Bye, Fred. Take care. And he would just report, yeah.
Yeah, and he came by the club every night. Whenever you saw him, we were all nice to him. And he loved ventriloquism, so I kept saying I was going to buy him a ventriloquism doll, whatever you call it. And I kept forgetting.
You mean a politically correct word now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a dummy.
Wooden American. Hey, I want to make sure I got that in. Wooden American. Right. Okay.
A ventriloquist doll. I didn't say that on purpose. A ventriloquist dummy. So, and then I kept forgetting. Finally, one week, I go, look, Vinny, right?
Larry.
I'm sorry. Larry. I go, he's died, right?
Yeah.
But do you know how long ago?
It has to be 20 years ago, something insane. I first moved to L.A., and I still had my New York apartment, and he would call it, and it would get forwarded. Remember when you would actually pay long-distance calls?
Mm-hmm.
You know? My joke
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and
he would call collect.
Yeah, but he would – I remember my joke, and I don't do stand-up, is remember when porno – long-distance – you had – when porno wasn't free and long distance, whatever. You know, it's not funny. And I had a beer. And but he would call up and it would be forwarded from Manhattan to here. Hi, Fred. I spoke to Wayne. Bye, Fred. Take care. Yeah.
And so he wanted a dummy. So I bought him. I kept forgetting. So one day I gave him money. I think I gave him $30. I said, you could go buy it. Here you go buy it. He came back the next week with this really beaten up black dummy. It looked like it had been in the trash for 100 years.
And he had a funny voice. Yeah. How you doing?
I didn't know how to deal with it. So I go, but for some reason, I still wanted to know what he did with the money. I'm like, well, I don't know, Larry. That doesn't, I forget how the cadence I have it. I was 17. I probably went, that doesn't look like you bought with my money.
$35.
You know, $35 I gave you, or 40, or it was actually 50. It was $50. So he goes, yeah, I bought it. He goes, you want to see me? And he would go, it was obviously, it was not good, but you were kind to him because, you know, even at my young age, I knew the situation and I knew that he would, you know, I knew his situation, whatever you want to say. And then he finally admitted, I go, Larry, I don't think you bought that. He goes, I didn't. Todd, to be honest with you, and as I'm doing this, people listening right now to the podcast,
he's
which is
pulling
everybody,
his lip.
He pulls his lip.
Like he's a puppet.
He pulls his lip, like he rubs his lip, and he goes, to be honest, Todd, I bought a steak dinner, and I didn't think you could handle it. Go, wait a second, I can't handle it. But I was like, I remember even at that age, I sort of, I got a little sad. I thought, oh, he's scared. I was like, that's okay. And then he would do his ventriloquism for us.
Did he find the chief?
He found
puppet.
It in the trash somewhere.
You always see puppets. Right, this ain't dummy.
Like, this is perfect.
I stopped myself from saying dummy. Puppets. You always see black puppets in the trash.
Yeah. By the way, that was the name of my first country hit. Black Puppets in the Trash. We'll take a break. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. We'll be right back right after this. We hope you're enjoying it. Our guest today is Fred Stoller, and we'll be back. That's a fake. You like that? Seemed good, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it seemed like it.
I know how to do it. I know what I'm doing. Well, I know what I'm doing. Anyway, so that's that. But I didn't know till years later that you knew, because you'd come in from New York, right?
Yeah, I would come in. You know, I'm so old. I remember when it was a 2.5-hour train ride to Philly, and all of a sudden, what do you mean it's an hour and a half? Do you remember that? Sometime the train got faster?
It got a little faster. Do you remember what you – you'd come into the Comedy Works, which was two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
Something.
And you stayed at the – where did you stay? Do you remember?
God, it's so long ago.
The Holiday Inn?
Yeah, I remember I stayed at some place and Barney –
Society Hill Hotel.
Barney Weiss's son, I was going back on a Friday night, and he goes – can I stay in your room, bring people? And I'm going, well, because you remember Barney Weiss's son?
Michael Weiss,
of course. Used to work at the Works.
He did. His dad owned a little comedy club called Going
Bananas.
Which
I ended up doing a lot. When I used to work there, pre-condo days, you would stay in some, like, apartment, and I'm trying to sleep, and you hear, welcome to Going Bananas with the, you know, the answering machine. I'd like two tickets, please. You know what I mean? All yeah. I'm trying to, you know, back when
they had answering machines. They, yes. They would, and people, what they would do with the comedy, look, I think this is, I hope, interesting. We, you know, they didn't have, they couldn't pay for your tickets on you know, on the phone or on the computer. So they would do.
We were explaining pre-computer, wow.
They yeah. So what they would do is, if the club held, like the Comedy Works, I know this because I did the door, the club held about 300 people. So what do you do? So what they would do is they would oversell the club, and here's the way they get out of it. They would go, hi, you know, you reached the Comedy Works, and it would say all this. And then when they took the reservation, Joy would go, as long as you're there, 35 minutes before showtime, you're guaranteed a seat. So now what are the odds? So they would overtake reservations by 100 people.
Wow.
Because what are the odds that those people – so what I did is when I worked the door – at a half an hour before showtime, I would walk down the line and with a laminated piece of paper saying it's 7:30, I'm the last person in line.
Whoa.
So the person that got there after that, you'd be able to go, look, I gave this to this person. Now, the majority of the time, everyone that got after that got in too. But in the event of that everybody showed up, that 99% of the time, that half an hour before, 35 minutes before showtime got them out of it. I remember one time where there was 40 or 50 people that they all got there before showtime, and they were fucking mad, and it was mayhem, and you gave them free tickets. But, you know, that type of system works 99% of the time, so that's the way they did it.
Do you remember the Jailhouse? Did you ever do that?
I never did the Jailhouse.
Yeah, there was Going Bananas. I did a lot.
The Comedy Factory outlet.
Yeah, and there was another one that – not Steve Young.
The Jailhouse?
But there was another one – Comedy Factor. There was the
Comedy Cabaret.
Restaurant. Yes,
there Andy Scarpati had like nine Comedy Cabarets.
But there was
still does have like three of them.
Yeah, yeah. See, in the movie, Vinny D'Angelo, I met. He was before he became agoraphobic. He would do the Philly scene, but he would just do like, you know, little bars and stuff. And then we really bonded, and he became more agoraphobic, and he was the adoring parent I never had, where if I went to a video store or a post office, get out, man. He loved hearing my stories, and you know, and he couldn't deal with like having to send like to who is that guy? To John Schuler, 8x10s. He didn't want to have to go to the post office. So, yeah, so there was a point to the story, and then it
it's okay. I'm surprised you know so many Philly guys.
Oh no, they were great.
Legendary Wid, obviously.
Legendary Wid. We all bonded. Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time I did Comic Factory Outlet. It was a big deal. Someone from Annie was
Pam Madison.
The whole cast of Annie was there.
Yeah, because she did.
Like, don't fuck up, Fred. The cast of Annie's there. All right, I'm nervous.
So fast forwarding, those are the Philadelphia days, and I will also say this, Fred.
Oh, Mike Egan.
Mike Egan.
Oh, yeah, the first time I went to Philly.
Mike Egan, did you ever talk to him still?
You know, he ran Catch for a while. Catch Rising Star. You know, just the Facebook peripheral stuff. The first time I did the thing, I forgot where I stayed, but I remember Rick Overton slept with Judy Toll.
Poor.
Who's
and by the way, she's passed away, and she would still love that I made that joke.
Yeah, and she
more than if she was alive.
Yeah, but then she ended up going to L.A. with Tom Wilson.
And yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Wilson, who you know, one of those people who it's like when I talk about anybody who has done a crazy amount of things, but most noted for, you know, instantly Back to the Future. I remember Judy Toll, who, by the way, when I first saw her, it was just so different. It was like no other person was doing something. It was just different. And then I remember falling in love with her and falling in love with Tom Wilson, and they were nice and they were kind. And then I remember them, the last show they did, and then they were getting in their car and driving off to California.
And
that was sad.
The American dream. He gets in Back to the Future. I remember one of the last times I saw her, She wrote the movie before Victoria Jackson became insane. I forgot, something with Leah Thompson. We're in there on Nude Beach, and they're lying in the asses. I liked it. And I said, I like that. Thank you. She goes, yeah, I wrote that scene for you, Fred. But no, there was a thing she wrote with Dice Clay, a movie.
Well, remember she used to do Andrea.
Oh, Casual Sex.
Oh, Casual yeah. Sex. Yeah, and then she did Andrea Dice Clay, and she'd be like,
that's right.
She'd be the only woman going, suck my pussy. But as a woman, it was hilarious.
She had a whole story about going through Scientology to try and sweat out the cancer.
And she got out of it, yeah.
Yeah, and she actually won a lawsuit against Scientology. In like for $35,000.
Yeah, she got a lot of her money back. Yeah. So now we sit here. So I'm just want to make sure I'm being a good interviewer here. How do you and Tom know each other?
I don't know if we ever worked on the road a week. I don't think we did. I think we worked.
I don't know why I have some memory of.
I think I opened for you maybe once in a while at the Laugh Stop.
Stand up. Where'd you start?
On Orange County, Irvine Improv, and the Laugh Stop in Newport.
I have some weird memory.
I hate to do this to you, and it's so disrespectful, but I have to play this.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
All right, back with Fred.
He has to play that.
Stoller.
I have some
ooh,
memory.
Ooh, you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me, but Fred,
no, play crazy
I have
songs.
To play it again. This is embarrassing.
See what happens. I
the
think
Todd Glass
sometimes
Show.
Sometimes when we're not talking about Todd,
by the Podcasters
I think
Association
he worries
of America.
He tries to get the show back. Let's try it one more
time. You know,
time.
I don't really have a funny story about meeting Tom Martin.
No, you know.
Wait, I think you'd...
Play it again.
The Todd Glass
See?
Show. Voted number one.
I don't know.
Is
it just a coincidence? Do you think? Do you think he's really...
Hey, you guys like fun songs? Huh? Why don't we have some fun? What are we doing here, huh? Let's enjoy. It's Christmas
well,
time.
I was just saying that with Fred, I...
Oh, wait. What? Just said, what?
I'm pretty sure I worked with Fred, and remember that one-nighter we did with him?
I don't want to do the bit anymore. Oh, wait. I did want to do the bit. So you start talking to him again, it's not including me,
right.
So I...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. What do you guys got?
No, I was just saying we worked that one-nighter, I think, in Ventura, and then...
The Todd Glass Show. Voted right. Number one by the
public.
I know what it's like to want to get a story out. I actually want to hear it. So
it's not that good a story.
It's all right. Nothing. You know what? You know the name of the show?
The Todd
Nothing's
Glass
that
show.
Important.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay, fast forward a few years, and then we worked together on the Emmy Award-winning children's animation show called Word Girl, where he plays Chuck, the evil sandwich-making guy.
I liked it. I saw it. No, I didn't. And that's where you guys met each other?
No, we met before
just
that.
The things. I remember, but my non-story was, I bumped into you on Ventura Boulevard, and I had some desperation, and you were Karen Glass, and I was pitching, and I didn't know what pitching was. I go, Karen, how about me as a delivery guy? That's the non-story.
All right, we're going to take a question from our audience. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My name's Steve from Iowa.
Hi, Steve.
I have a question for Fred Stoller.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you know Tom Martin?
I like that. You have a funny Tom Martin
It's a new
story?
Character we developed. It's the audience that doesn't listen to the show. So whatever we're talking about, it's going to be a new character. And he just asked, yeah, we just fucking talked about that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take an honest quick break.
Please.
Because we have someone that's going to sit in on the show today, and they're here. So what do we play? What do you want to play, Chris? How you doing, Chris?
Good.
What do you want to play? You want to play this right here? That's what you want to play? Okay. Well, then I'm going to let you play.
We wish you a merry one. We wish you a merry one. And a happy
Christmas. If it wasn't for the speech impediment, I wouldn't love it. I do love it. We miss you a marijuana. We wish you a marijuana. We'll be back with Fred Stoller, everybody. Fred, are you... Would you do a karaoke song?
Sure.
You don't have to.
Sure. I did one at this party thinking it's funny, but then it's funny for 7 seconds, Ghostbusters. Like, hey, but then you got to keep going.
We'll pick the, I know, all isn't right. that
like, it's
on,
funny,
you, are we recording
yeah.
now? When did we start?
I've been recording the whole time, so I can keep
all right, we'll
in.
Just come
you know,
in
hey,
right.
that's funny, because it's not really a song, Ghostbusters, but then you got to, for 3-5 minutes, stand there.
So funny.
And I was Bill Murray's brother was there, and I went, hey, yeah, we got one of the Murrays there, and he got mad.
It's not hard to make a Murray mad.
No, not Bill, but yeah.
Just so we make our lives easier when, well, we're fine. So we're back. We what did we just do? Oh, we let Wad is here, everybody. We give a round of applause. We're old school. Wad is a funny... The kids love them. There we go. We'll put that there. I think we're going to, you know, what I'm working on is I'm trying to work on my David Feldman impersonation. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
See, here's the people are. That's all I got. That's over. That was something to do. You know what I'd like to do? Put something up on the screen. Now, Fred, you don't seem like somebody I would go, I'm not going to make Fred do karaoke, but while we were on break, what do you want to do? You want to press the button? What is here? It's okay. We're trying to figure out where to press
on. You were on the left. It's on the right. Does that make sense? Right there.
There you go. All right. We got a lot of background noise here, which I hate.
Sorry.
It's okay. Everybody's doing good. Who's water? Can you put that on the floor or over there? I'm becoming crazier and crazier. I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Well, sorry. I just
that was like shock therapy for Tom.
Cry men.
No, here's the deal. Let's say, hypothetically, the background noise, it's a certain amount of me. The only way I could do it is get the microphones like they have in the radio shows where they're mounted and then they're up. That's by the way, there's a reason they probably have those microphones, which tends to me to mean that I'm not so crazy.
No, you're right, because people, they gesture with their hands and they won't, and they're going to hit the table.
Right, they're going to hit the table. That's why, you know, the newest thing they do when you go to these – what are you doing over there?
I don't know. I don't know why it's
– That's okay. I like how you go, what are you doing over there? Then he tells me, I go, it's okay. Well, because once I find out what it is, I change my, oh, that's okay. I don't want to be a monster. So what song can we pull up for Fred to see if he could do?
Well, we have these or we have.
Because I would love to hear Fred. I don't know how he would do it, but we'll give you some reverb.
Oh, my God. Did you hear Blake Wexler singing karaoke with we just heard his voice and we didn't hear the music. It was something that Daniel did. It was so.
Oh no, that's the bit that I started.
Oh really?
It's called iPod karaoke. Where when I thought of this idea, I thought some radio station has to have done this. But you put your iPod in and you hear the music, but nobody else does. Would you do that?
Whatever. I'm going to go crazy
because
I was too serious for a while. So
no.
I'm ready
to keep
up with the Doug Stanhope. This is,
Fred.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Right.
You know, I'm not being ridiculous, but I, you know, I love you more than you know. Seriously. I mean, I love you more than you know. I love you more than you know.
I love you more
than you know.
Thank you. Oh, is that the song I'm supposed to sing?
I love you more than you know.
More than you know. More than you know. Man of my heart.
By the way, he asked me to do that bit. And that's how, I did. I said, we'll do it on the next show. So you didn't have it ready. No, you're never too serious. I worry about the same. You know what? Thank you for your. I like how he works in that messing up. He goes, I think it's funnier when it messes up. That's why I do it. But I did say that. He goes, let's do it. And I said, we'll do it the next show. And then I do it. And I go, you couldn't be ready for something I told you we weren't going to do? Yeah. So Fred Stoller is our guest, and you were just saying a second ago, you weren't too serious. That's the journey we take. I'm going to repeat something I said a million times. When you're sitting around your house, or when
you don't
judge
it, you're right. It's conversation.
That's why people, yes, and I make the same mistake. I go, I'm being too serious. I'm being too this. And you know what? I'm going to take a break here for a second, and I'm going to thank people that listen to the show by saying this. I get enough emails that people say, and you know that's how you know there's a lot of kind people and creative people. They might not do stand-up comedy. They might not have a band, but they have to be kind and creative. So many of the listeners write this, and for every listener that hasn't written it, there's some other listener thinking it. And they're the people that you want to bring on this journey with you that go, Todd, it's okay. You know, just we're with you.
Well, you know what? I did stand-up, and then when I started – doing guest star acting parts, I thought I was bombing because I'm used to da-da-da-da, laugh. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, and I bombed. No, you're allowed to just bring a package in and go, here's the package.
One time during a live show,
you worked the crowd.
And
you turn their hey.
You're like, hey.
One
but
time,
in acting classes, yeah, sometimes, sorry to interrupt, sometimes comics would look to the crowd and just do gestures.
Because you're used to that.
Yeah.
That's why I said one time in front of a live audience when I was in Toronto at the comedy bar, the sound of laughter lets you know they enjoyed it. But there's no sound of no bullshit. There's no sound of that's genuinely interesting. There's no sound of that's interesting. So all you hear is the same sound of we're bored if a joke doesn't work is the same sound you hear when something's interesting. So I said to the crowd, I go, I wish there was a sound the audience made of when, you know, no, that's not funny, but we're interested. And I said, I wish there was a sound like, oh. Well, like 3 minutes later, something happened, and I said something. It got no laugh at all. This one person in the audience must have sensed. There he is. He didn't, because he didn't hear anything. He got nervous, and this person in the audience goes, "Ah!" I went, "I fucking love you," because they're, you know. So,
but
you know.
Todd, did
there you go.
Did this ever happen where you could be killing? But I'll have a. I would have a set where I'm not blowing the room away, but I feel you're connected. You feel connected even if you're not blowing the roof off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have that more connected?
Yes.
Even though you're not getting big, big roars.
I think if you're answering this right, what I call that is, and that's why I constantly and will never stop praising audiences like at the UCB or the Meltdown. They're
with
nurturing.
They're with
nurturing.
You.
And let me tell you, when they're nurturing, what that means to me is if you have a – you can't go up there and be disrespectful, but if you're trying your hardest, but you hit a little bit of a lull, their unspoken word is, we're with you.
Yeah, well,
we got you. We're not going to make you prove yourself all over again because one bit didn't work. And those, I've said it before, those audiences reap the benefits of being, they treat comedy like some people treat the opera. And that's why it's a pleasure to do those
shows. Well, the Fred and Vinny movie, we were in festivals and it was a sad, real story. And it wasn't like bromance, high-fiving and spitting at each other. And, you know, and so I go, we're bombing. But they were just, the fact that they weren't looking at their watches and snoring, you know, not a good point. Okay. Karaoke.
I love the way you get, you're like, you're me.
You're bad. I have one last low self-esteem. When you're talking about headlining, right? When you talk about waiting.
Do you want, right now, would you like some reverb in your voice?
Sure.
You would? Okay.
Whatever you
okay,
make it
put
fun.
Some reverb in his voice.
When I used to
would you like some background music?
Okay, whatever. You it's your
do you
thing.
Want any background music?
No.
Okay.
When I did stand up, no background music. When I did stand up, I used to, like when I did Virginia Beach or something, when the people would wait online for the show, I'd feel sorry for them when I was the headliner. That they saved up all week and they were with a date and I was doing an hour and this is their weekend. I used to feel sorry for the people.
Holy Fred, I love it. That's why I stopped the music because it's too real. So you're headlining and you see this crowd lined around.
They're waiting
the block.
An hour.
And why do you feel bad? Because you think they're not
going to enjoy. Because they're working schlubs at the Gap or in the Navy. I mean, literally the Navy. Hold maybe on. Get killed for us. And, you know, and this is all they did. They work in a cubicle all week, and this is their weekend to see some skinny guy who looks down at the floor. And I felt sorry that they wanted entertainment. I go, I felt confident if I'm in New York doing 20 minutes, you know, hey, then John Mulroney will come up and make up for the slack. You know what I mean? Or Dennis Blair.
Make up for the
or
slack.
Kevin Sullivan. Do you remember Kevin Sullivan?
Of course I do. So anyway, what song do you want to do? And by the way, this is a comfortable zone.
Oh, you
you're
could
in.
Do like roulette thing.
Well, you can pick. I never walk alone. You'll never walk alone.
Maybe Margaritaville.
Really?
Well, I Gotta Be Me would be good, but that would be.
Yes, you gotta
okay.
be me.
I love that song.
Okay, that's what we're going to do. All right, let's roll it in.
So really try to sing.
Well, no, just
don't cop
just,
out and just say the words like I'm you, nervous.
But sometimes you got to talk it a little where okay. you can't sing it.
All right.
Maybe pretend where it's in a movie. Like I always go to the same thing. This is a movie, and in the scene you're singing it. So
and I love the Sammy Davis Jr. song where he goes, I didn't set the world on fire. I never had a wife. You know the thing. He goes, I didn't set the world on fire as a human being either. Could I? Okay.
All right. So listen.
I don't care.
Here we go. You want me to do it a little for you?
No.
I'm just kidding. You shut the fuck up, Chris. Chris goes, no. Like, I'm really wanting an honest answer. If I ask if I can sing ever, the answer would be, oh, sure, Todd. All right, here we go. I'll do a little bit for you. That sounds horrible. Okay, I'll show you. I'll give you the rhythm, and then whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong.
Which is probably going to happen, because right. I'm never going to have kids.
Now you
I
go.
Gotta be me.
No, start it from the beginning. I give the guy the proper introduction. All right, here we go.
Take it, Fred.
Put a lot of reverb in Fred's mic. He'll need it.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong.
If you did this live, I'd come see you.
whether I find a place in this world or never belong. It's probably going to be the latter one.
I'm Vinny.
I've got to be me, Fred. I've got to be me, Wayne Carter. Hi, Fred. What else can I be but what I am? Finding puppets in the trash.
Finding puppets in the trash.
I want to live and not merely survive, meaning walk around the grove and napping all day, you know. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I've got to be me. I got to be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of marginal success, like I'm doing a guest spot tomorrow, that's good, is waiting for me if I heed the call. Come on, Yellow. I won't settle down or settle for less. As long as there's a chance that I can have it all. Is this going so
long? I can have it all.
I'll go it alone.
That's right.
That's how it must be.
It's Fred Stoller, everybody.
Oh, tell my mother. I could be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me.
You're right for a lot of people in my book.
I gotta be free. I've gotta be free. Daring to do karaoke, crazy things. See, when they're adding the words.
No, keep going.
Oh, I gotta be me. I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I met a woman. She's allergic to cats. Just happened. So. Alone.
You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, everybody.
Oh, wow. Great fun. I was sincere.
I know that. I've got to be me. Fred.
Now I learned stuff. This is great.
You know what's funny? The hour just flies by.
Tell Doug Benson to... Oh, no.
But you see, that's why he's so good at doing voice for animation characters, is because you nailed it. You've got the timing.
Yeah, you let me tell you something.
You can't take a compliment. It's true.
Well, not
it's
singing. Okay. On Handy Manny, they would not have me sing.
I love your... I don't know. You're just great.
Thank you.
You're
say your age, but I could I have a judgment? Make a judgment about the tattoo?
Yes.
That's your way of saying fuck you, like pilot season and the way things work.
My manager told me not to get a tattoo because what if I went out for an audition and I said, "Well, I haven't."
But this
gotten
is
any...
where you're saying, "No, I have my niche. This is what I do. I'm not trying to fit into how you do things."
I got the tattoo because I've always I don't know if I talked about this on the air yet, but they're not done it yet. I'm gonna go to there and finish it around because Halloween somebody had one of those nylon things you pull over your arm and it looks like a tattoo and you really can't tell. I liked it. Never wanted a tattoo, but I always wanted an arm sleeve. So. 4 months ago on the President Steve show on Tattoo Thursday. It's usually Tattoo Tuesdays, but I did Tattoo Thursdays and I got a tattoo. So
you got to be you.
And I do. You know, seriously, you know, you don't know. The more I know you, the more I don't know how to say this.
I was so intimidated by you because I felt I was trying to track you down at the Grove, asking, "Can I be on your podcast?" And you ran through Nordstrom's and hid, you know. And then I was texting you.
No, I did.
You ran through Nordstrom's. You said,
okay,
"Hey,
first of all,"
and that was Sarah Silverman.
Here's what I'm gonna do.
Don't edit that.
No, I will.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you because I don't think it's right.
This is why I'm not on Jimmy Pardo because I know I seem like not a guy who talks out of sight of his mouth like a wise guy. Yeah, a great rug. You know, and I've asked him and I can't get on him.
He might not
because
know
I don't have that sensibility like a wise guy.
Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah, you're a winner, Jeremy.
First of all, Jimmy Pardo is the best that they come. He is great.
But
he might not know you.
He thinks I'm just the press guy walking around.
He might not just know
you. Yeah, I'm not that kind of guy. guy.
Yeah, but
I'm banging the table.
But no, no, it's okay. You're good. You're okay. All good. You're a good soul. Fred Stoller is a good soul, and I know it. And I don't like to take people that have good instincts and then tell them, no, you're wrong. Your instincts are a little bit, maybe I could correct them, but you're in the right area. I get nervous having anybody on the show that I don't know, because I don't want to say we're just silly, because obviously
I know you thought Fred and Vinny, it's a sad movie, Fred's depressed, walks around the Grove, that I would just have my head down. And
you always seem cheerful at the Grove. Every time I
live a block from there. And,
I also heard you on
Mark Maron opening up.
I also heard you on Jimmy Dore, comedy and everything else, and I loved it. And I was like, then I thought, oh, well, you know, I always, for lack of a better word, adored you because I think you're a good soul. And
but
I said that a minute ago.
Like Doug Benson.
Shut the
I'm
fuck
not
up.
Like a dude guy. Hey, dude, man, let's see a Fleetwood Mac thing. You know, that's what they do. So, so I think they think, you know. Yeah, let's accentuate the people who won't respond.
It's all right. It's who you are. You know what? Your only illness is what you keep secret. That's what somebody texted
You're
me.
You're a philosopher.
Tweeted
wow.
me.
That's a will be right back.
Put some reverb in my voice. I'm John Kennedy.
You're
Give me some John Kennedy music.
I love that thing you said off thing about podcasts.
What?
You go, why? Everyone does one. Well, everyone does stand-up. Everyone does acting.
Oh, I said that a million times. The reason not to do a podcast shouldn't be because everyone else does one. Because then stop doing stand-up and making films. Because a lot more people did that.
Well, that's why I admired Dave Chappelle when he started, because if I was him, I go, everyone's done this black-white stuff. I don't want to do that. But he said, I don't care, and it's like,
Where's my music? Our guest tonight has been Fred Stoller.
I want to say this is the funnest podcast I've done. I'm not just saying that.
Well, Fred.
The most fun I've had. The least was David Feldman.
Let me.
I'll tell you that later. I have to preface it.
Well, by the end of this show, let that music play. Our audiences know your stand-up. They know your body of work.
I have a Kindle single, if you want to get it, called My Seinfeld Year. It's $1.99.
We'll say it again?
My Seinfeld Year. It's $1.99. It did really well. These things they have called Kindle singles, where I wrote, you know, my favorite year? This wasn't that. But I wrote what it was like, a schmucky guy like me trying to function and write on Seinfeld for a season.
Well, let me
That's
tell you something.
My plug.
Did you like working on Seinfeld?
I liked that it was part of history, but it wasn't good for the soul, brother. No, it was you. Did you read it? I thought someone read it.
No, I hadn't read it, but I'm going to.
Okay.
And what is it exactly? Tell me.
It's this thing I didn't know existed, but they do really well. It's like these mini books. You download a free Kindle app for your iPhone. You read it on your computer, your Machabe, and you just they do mini books. Dean Koontz has one. That
and
guy,
what is
Andy
yours
Borough.
Specifically?
Mine is called My Seinfeld Year. It was what it was like. Trying to maneuver and fit in. And
how many years did you work on Seinfeld?
It's called My Seinfeld Year.
Oh.
I thought you were kidding, Todd.
No.
My Seinfeld 3 years.
Hold on. Let's take one quick question from the from our
Mike
audience
Dugan.
Of one. Go ahead.
Hi, Fred. I'm Doug from Delaware.
Hey, Delaware. I used to work there. Thanks.
I read your Amazon single, My Seinfeld Year. How many years were you on Seinfeld?
Well, obviously, the guy doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, and he doesn't listen, and he doesn't listen when he reads.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's that theme song from Seinfeld.
Let's end with Let Me Say Goodbye to Fred.
So you are the Reverb. James Lipton of podcasts.
I know what I'm doing. I make, because you know what? I want people to feel good. Our guest tonight, it was Fred Stoller. He's out of sight. Sitting in for him was the amazing Tom Martin. Sitting next to Chris over there is Irk. And we've got sitting in with us tonight a very funny comedian. His name is What? And always thank you to Katie Levine. That's the show, everybody. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. We know what we're doing. We're professional. We're fucking professional. Fred,
no, you do something where people feel good.
You know what? All I like is people to feel good. That's all
That's
I ever
what I
wanted.
Said.
That's
when
why.
When did you say it?
Remember last time I was on? I said. It lifts your spirits listening to
me. And that's why I used to feel sorry for people waiting to see me as the headliner.
Say that again.
That's why I used to feel sorry for people waiting to see me as the headliner.
You know what? If there's ever the funniest thing that I've ever heard, or one of the funniest things, it's the self-awareness. First of all, it's not you, I'm sure, being insecure. I just know
I'm not an entertainer.
Deep down, yeah.
For an hour to see me just kind of kill time and wait for the light.
For me and my friends, and let me tell you something, the age gap is a lot different when we're younger, because right. I was 17 when I first saw you. Now the age gap isn't as big, but 17, whatever age you were, and let me tell you something, this is the truth, young people, they know what's funny. You know, they know good music, they know what's funny, they do. And we fucking loved you. On the way home in the car, we didn't know how to express it because we didn't know anything about stand-up comedy. But in hindsight, yeah, we knew it was different and we knew it was good. So that's when I was 17 and I first saw you, and you were probably, you know, like 22 or something, maybe 20, you know, whatever age you
something
were.
Like that,
but so there we go. That's our show today, and goodbye, everybody. Hey, goodbye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.